Hey now, Habs fans, family edition of the Curfew Boys, Sammy and Chris on a new episode. What's up, buddy?
Not too much. Canadians fresh off a loss.
Back-to-back
Can't
shootout
complain.
loss.
Look, it is what it is. Gotta cheer for the losses at this point of the year.
Oh my God. Well, we're less than 20 games away. Well, we've got what, 17 left, I think, now after this. Listen, before we get started, to all the viewers and listeners, thanks for tuning in to a brand new episode. Please, 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 as always, continue to support us and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. We've got tons of content for you. More episodes to come out as the season comes to an end. Less than 20 games. It's I laugh because I'm there thinking, like, my God, from the beginning of the season, those just this team does not cease to fucking send us to emotional breakdowns, up and downs, roller coaster rides. I don't know how else to put it. The fucking it's like I don't know what to say anymore. I really don't. Maybe it's because I'm tired, but it, just when you think there can't be any more surprises, just more pop off, whether it's with injuries or whether it's with the Canadians able to compete against some of the top teams in the league. I'm like, you know what it is? Like, it's not surprised, but yet it's still surprising. We say it's because of the Marty St. Louis effect, but yet maybe it's because these fucking, like, I don't call them the Montreal Canadiens. I call them the Laval Canadiens because, God damn it, half the fucking lineup is guys from the minors, and yet they could still compete against teams like the Carolina Hurricanes on Tuesday and then earlier tonight, Thursday night, against the New York Rangers.
Look, you said it for me. Competing against the Rangers and the Hurricanes is something in itself. Never expected both games to go to a shootout. Honestly, like I guess it's not a cap, but I would say I raise my hat to Joey because Joey seems to have mastered the art of enjoying the Canadians losing. It's still for you and I, as you can clearly tell, it's very hard. We want them to win nevertheless, and they get into that shootout and well, both shootouts,
Yeah,
and
both of them, back-to-back shootouts.
as Joey would say, of course it was fucking KK who scores the game-winning goal. And for this game, I think the frustrating I'll go back to the Carolina game right after this, but I'm there just waiting for the Canadians' third shooter to go ahead, and I see Belzile on the ice, and I just got up, I grabbed the remote, and I just had my
You
finger
knew
on the.
it.
I was
You
just like,
knew it.
fuck.
Well, I mean,
Obviously, I watched it, but you knew what was coming.
Well, man, like, speaking of Alex Belzile, listen, you got to give credit to Redu. He's on a three game goal streak. Three
Yeah,
goal. Yeah.
it's four goals. It's four goals in the last four games, was it?
Oh, he definitely has. No, it's he's got three in the last three, including like, started against Vegas, nice goal against Vegas, got one against the Hurricanes, got one against the Rangers. You know, got to give credit where credit's due. And I think the way Marty is looking at it, like, at this point, there's nothing to lose. The guys are playing for pride, and it shows. They're really playing for pride. In Belzile's case, he's definitely playing for a contract because he is an unrestricted free agent at the end of the season. But you could tell he doesn't want to go back to Laval. And that's it. His season is ending with the Canadians. He's not getting sent down. If the Laval Rocket are making the playoffs, they are making a final playoff push, but he's not getting sent down for the rest of the season. He's staying with the Canadians. He's fighting for that contract, and we're gonna see where he lands at the end of the season. I think in his case, I think he's getting these, like, he's gonna get these 1 year contracts, maybe a 2 year contract. That's a bit of a raise. I can't see him making more than 1.5 million, to be honest.
The guy is the perfect call up. Should injuries arise during the season, let him be the captain of the Rocket. He still gets to stay close to his family. I think that's the best role for him. Like, he would be one of the first call-ups to come up here and help the big club, but I still think he fits perfectly. Like, don't get me wrong, his play, as you're mentioning, he deserves to be here in Montreal at this very moment to finish out the season. But I still think he's got that perfect role as a captain down in the minors, a guy who knows his place and can really help direct a lot of the young players that are going to be up and coming, and perhaps give them some insight as to what they can expect to play in the big leagues. So, very again, very, very happy with how he's finishing the season and the contributions that he's been able to bring, especially goal-wise in these past games. But
But I think,
like you said, I think
yeah.
he's going to be back for a year or two, and it's going to be like perhaps a one-way contract. I'd still say 60-40, leaning towards a two-way contract.
Yeah, if we're gonna get into the details, I'm not sure. It might, if it's gonna be a two-way, I'm not sure. He's probably gonna ask for a one-way contract, no matter where he goes. The only thing is, he's gonna have to. If he does have a one-way contract but starts in Laval, he's gonna have to clear waivers. So
It's true. He has a one way already. What the hell am I
he
saying
does.
two way?
I think he does already, but I'm gonna have to double check that. But the thing about Alex Belzil, it's so funny because. Let's be honest. When we first saw him getting called up for I think it was during the playoff bubble when him and I think Xavier Ouellette got called up. Let's be honest here. He didn't look like he belonged, and I mean no disrespect, but you could tell he was a minor league player. He didn't have. I don't think he had not. When I say NHL speed, I don't think it's like actual speed skating, but I
Decision
think.
making.
Decision making, being part of the play, knowing how, yeah, pretty much decision making. He's gotten a lot better. And I'm wondering if the change of coaching staff, both in Laval and with the Canadians, has a big part of it to do. I think because he's gotten better since JF Hood took over in Laval. And then, you know, we don't even have to say what Marty is doing to this team, let alone the fucking fourth liners on this team.
Well, I'll say this much. I think there was a natural progression and comfort that was instilled over the time playing in Laval. But the one standout thing that you can't argue, like what you're saying, he's just, I don't know if it's the Marty effect. I know we like to attribute it and we like to deem it the Marty effect, but I mean,
Well, I mean,
you're talking about
yeah.
decision making and his capacities, and you want to compare what he did in the bubble. I remember he had one golden opportunity in the bubble. He's got a clear shot. He had time. He sends it flying like 3, 4 feet over the net. Tonight he's flying down the wing. He's got another guy
Yeah.
in support, and he just like confident, calmly pulls it back, rips it. A beautiful,
Yeah, it was a
beautiful
great
shot.
shot. It was a great goal.
Like, that's a perfect example of where he's at, how he's progressed. And if he could continue to be like this, then maybe I'm wrong, and maybe he has a spot very much on this team. I just think with a full and healthy roster, unfortunately, there are still guys that are better and deserve the spot.
Yes, but having said that, look, man, we were plagued with injuries last season. We were obviously plagued with injuries this season. And again, I maybe it is the Marty effect. I don't know what else to expect, but like it's these I don't want to call them replacement, the call-ups, basically, they're earning their spot. They're earning their ice time. Did you ever think Jesse Ylönen would be on the fucking top line with Nick Suzuki? I didn't. He's earning his spot. He's the kid, that kid too. He's playing well, and he's another one playing for a contract. But I don't know. I don't know what the heck is going on here. What, like, it's great to see, but fuck, you know, for those that are full Tank Nation support, it's like fucking slow your horses, boys.
Look, not only, I don't know. I don't know. Everybody's playing well. For like I really want to go to Gooley. What
Oh my
a
God.
like
Oh
what a
my God.
force of nature. What a force of
Kid's
nature. The
insane.
guy comes back. He missed a significant part of the year. Comes back tonight. Goal and an assist. He pretty much batted the puck out of the air, just on ice level. He didn't bat it out of the air, but it was pretty much just falling and just the hand-eye coordination to follow through to send it past. The mobility on this guy, the vision of this guy, his passing abilities, puck moving ability. He's our number one defenseman
Well, this
already.
absolutely, and this is what I'm hoping from Caden Gooley, because tonight you got a shade against the Rangers, you got a shade or a sense of his two-way defensive style. He was so implicated and involved in the offensive zone this tonight. I don't know what the heck happened. I don't wish injury upon anybody, but if he gets, you kind of want him to be like, look, okay, I'm gonna take it as a joke, people, before fuck some people lose their shit. But what I'm about to say, it's like, fuck, if he gets injured again and is out for a game or two, I'll be okay with it, because chances are he's gonna come back and he's gonna fucking score again and put up a point or two. It's twice now. He gets injured and it's twice he comes back and scores. This kid is, he's so good. He's so fucking good.
I'm gonna say this about Gooley. I don't know, and this is also something that, internal debate. I look at these guys, like you look at Gooley, you look at Jack Eye. I'm even, it's starting to come across more and more in guys like Caulfield. Obviously, you have Suzuki, but these guys, like, I'm already having the internal debate and like wondering who's going to be wearing the A's, because I'm just going to go
Oh,
back to Gooley in particular.
yeah.
These guys demand respect. They seem so fucking mature, yet at the same
Yeah.
time, still upbeat, bring energy. They just, again, they command respect from the whole team. And it's just, if they're doing it at this age, like, oh,
What are they going to
fuck,
do in their
what a
prime
group.
at the age between the ages of 25 to 28, 27,
But they're just
28?
the character on these guys. It's like, fuck. I know Marc Bergevin preached character, this and that and the other, and he got emotional about it. But seriously, like a guy like Gooley, I swear to God, it's like watching, like, not the fucking shot, not the skating
Oh,
path, like
but he
the
attrits.
attributes, but the character. Fuck, he reminds me of a young. He just,
He is.
again, Shea
I
Weber
know.
walks into a room, commands fucking respect. Gooley,
He's all
same
business.
feeling.
All business. That's I couldn't agree more. He's all business, the kid. But and that's the thing. He's a kid. And for I guarantee his teammates, like even the older ones, I guarantee the veterans, like you talk about Edmondson, talk about Savard, you talk about Matheson. I'm sure when they see this kid, they respect him a lot, because look, we don't know what goes on in the room, but you could tell when a kid has a bit of he's not a guy about, like, Caulfield has swag, but he's humble. Gooley's all serious, but chance he seems like a humble kid too. And I think veterans appreciate that from these young guys that come in, and they know the talent level they have. They're gonna dominate it within their position for seasons to come. Look, I'm saying this. You say Shea Weber, and I couldn't agree with you more in terms of like the level of seriousness, business down to business. But in terms of his two-way game, I pray to God, I pray to universe, that whoever you believe in, if Caden Gooley could be our Roman Josi, I don't know how I'm gonna celebrate this, but this is this, but you know what I mean? Like we see these other teams for years. Like we had PK Subban on defense, and we were super thrilled about him, and rightfully so. He brought in the excitement, he brought in swag, he brought in his effort every night. I don't give a shit what anybody says. He really fucking did. He poured his heart on the sleeve. But we still, like, we didn't have fuck. Like, who are the dominant defensemen? Like, even the early part of the decade, like, we didn't have, like, my God, I would kill to have a Duncan Keith. Right now, I would kill to have a Roman Josi or a Victor Hedman or, geez, even Chris Letang in his prime with Pittsburgh. We would kill to have a defense like that. I think Caden Gooley, even though he's the 15th or 16th overall pick in his draft year, he was the third best defenseman of that draft year for a reason. And now you might even debate he could, if you were to redo that draft between him Jamie Drysdale and Jake Sanderson for Ottawa. Fuck, it's a. I think at this point it's a toss up. And if Caden Gooley didn't get injured, I truly believe he could have been at least a candidate for the Calder Trophy.
Yes. Yeah. I completely agree. You took the words out of my mouth because I seriously think that, you know, the minutes that he was playing, the role that he was playing, and everything that he was doing, the offensive and defensive contributions that he was making and points that he was putting up, even though not it's not many. Again, I'll go out and say it. I don't think Caden Gooley is ever going to be one of the leading point getters in terms of a leader in points on defense. I never think that's going to be the case. But what you're saying, and I think one of the thoughts that ran through my mind when you're talking about PK Subban, we've obviously had some players with, you know, offensive flair or different, let's just call it a certain flair to their game. They brought something that was exciting. But the one thing that I'm going to say is the guys that the Canadians have now, they might, and I don't want to knock them. They might not have some of the flair and some of the excitement that other guys like Kovalev, like PK Subban, guys even like Mike Camilleri in a certain sense. I don't want to get, I don't think Camilleri's like in Kush, but he's a step under Kovalev and like Subban in terms of excitement. But these players, they, how can I say this? These are the guys that it takes to win, not enjoy the game, not have exciting rushes, not have exciting plays. These are the types of guys that it takes to win. You imagine, again, in a certain sense, Shea Weber, very boring player, but he performed his role so well. He had a role in the power play, and he had a role to shut down the other team's best forward and be a presence in front of his own net and keep guys away. Caden Gooley is, you know, he doesn't have the same game. He's not the guy he can do some net front clearing and stuff like that. But I'm just saying his overall game, the two-way, as you mentioned, the two-way play, the solid, like just the solid offensive and defensive awareness. The way he can execute, he's the type of player who's going to consistently, every shift, give you the same things and do them so well that you're going to be in a winning position for, let's say, he plays 30 minutes a game. Well, for those 30 minutes,
Oh my
there's like
God,
a
Jesus.
75% opportunity that it falls into the favor of the Canadians on those plays. So
And
it's, I'm
he's,
just, you
yeah,
win with
I
those
agree.
guys. That's all.
Absolutely. And well, he's going to get those minutes. Like, he's going to get those right now. They're giving to Mike Matheson, who deserves it. Mike Matheson for the month of February, even beginning of March, was absolutely amazing. That's why him and Jake Allen won the Molson Cup award for February. But yeah, no, and again, I reiterate this. Since the start of the season, the reason why everyone's freaking out is like, how is it that Arber Jacki and Caden Gooley do not look like rookies coming into this league? Dude, do you know how many hockey games they played in the past year, year and a half? They played so many games. They played over 100 games, and I'm including the NHL, I'm including their junior year, and I'm including the Memorial Cup. He played. Caden Gooley played so many games. Arber Jacki too. That year they had, it was the perfect thing for their development, including going to the Memorial Cup. This is why. This is what. And it's funny. I was having a talk with the guy that plays hockey with Vinny LeCavalier, a colleague of mine that that could rub a certain person off the. Anyways. He said the same thing. He goes, but the reason why some of these guys in the Canadian Hockey League, the OHL, whether it's the OHL, WHL, or the Q, they progress a little bit more than, let's say, either kids from Europe or kids from the NCAA. It's because
NCAA.
NCAA, they only play like 30, 40 games, depending how far they go. In the OHL, you're playing over 60. The further you go in the playoffs, if you go to the Memorial Cup, holy shit, you're bringing in games. And if they're healthy, it's perfect for their development. There's if you're wondering why Caden Gooley is so, it's simply because of that. He's been playing top. He's playing big minutes in his junior team. He's the number one defenseman on the team too. It's like there you have it. Like the development for that kid was beyond perfect. Like we criticized the Canadiens for years about their development system. Well, fuck, they didn't have that many prospects playing that much hockey. I understand you need to have the pro. You need to have good staff too, good development staff with your team. But it completely helps when a kid like Gouley just plays all the hockey he has to and can to prepare him properly for the big leagues. I can't wait to see the progression of this kid. I really can't. And you know, just real quick, I just got an update. I saw an update on Twitter regarding the Canadians. Speaking of injuries, but so Kirby Dach is out indefinitely, lower body injury. Brendan Gallagher with a lower body injury is going to be absent for another 3 to 4 weeks. And Arbor Jacki got operated March 1st. A full recovery is expected. Sorry, I'm looking at it in French, so I'm just translating. He should be fully ready to go come training camp. So there you have it. And you know, again, I keep seeing this team playing the way they're playing. Like, what if they had a healthy lineup for real though? Like, the more they play, the more I ask that question. I think Adrian at one point was right. At one point, Adrian called it. They're going to be fighting for a wild card spot. Watch. If this lineup was healthy, I truly believe they would making a push, kind of like what Ottawa is doing right now.
I honestly think so too. I think you're looking at a 40, maybe even 45, 50 goal scorer in Cole Caulfield.
100%.
Again, I'll just agree and say yeah, because we can go on it for
Oh,
minutes and minutes each. Again, I'll simplify it because all the young guys surprised us. The young defenseman especially surprised us. I think the only guy, and I'll call it for what it was, when he was playing and when he wasn't, even when he was healthy, maybe Slavkovsky was a little bit underwhelming for his first year, the adapting to the North American game. I gotta call that fairly, even though I can't wait for this guy to progress. I have full
Oh,
confidence
same.
that he will
Oh,
progress.
absolutely.
But when you look at a guy like David Savard, who we were begging to have traded at any given moment of last season and
He
before the season started,
picked up his
he
game.
fucking he played and give credit to the guy. He played a fanta He's been fantastic this year. He's been very reliable for what he is.
Sorry, not sorry, Joey. Like I agree. I totally agree. He stepped up to the plate, man. And I think he conditioned himself a little bit better. No, but I'm serious. I really think
No,
he
I'm
did.
just thinking about how we used to joke about him stepping on the ice and being
He
on the
looks like he
verge of
got
like a heart attack.
it. If you see every he looks like he's out of breath for real. And you know what? When you think about David Savard, it's just like from the time he won the cup with Tampa to Montreal, I don't think anybody had time to really fully condition themselves.
Yeah, I
So
think so too.
I think Savard had proper rest at the end of last season and the beginning of this season. I'm serious. I think he was able to condition himself a lot better and physically prep himself a lot better for this season. And it shows out there. Like the guy's been an animal for the Canadiens on defense. You know, especially that
Oh,
he's the only
delicious.
being the
Okay.
only veteran, being he's being the only veteran when Mike Matheson was injured, and even when Joel Edmondson was injured at the
Edmondson.
start of the season. Like, he's the only one helping to guide these kids. And if they're doing well, like, I'm sorry. Actually, no, I'm not even sorry, Joey. He's got a part to play. I truly think he's been guiding these kids. He's been guiding Caden Gooley, especially. Like, we gotta give credit. Like you said, I've got to give credit where it's due, and I'm fully giving it to Savard.
We talk about Martin Saint-Louis. We like I think about even I'm sure you saw right at the end of the game when they were going into the shootout, and I ripped on the fact that Belzil took a shot, but Belzil deserved to
What?
have
Why
an
not?
opportunity. And
But
number
that's it.
two,
Why not? Yeah.
even if the Canadians lose, even if they'd lose, you rewarded a guy who deserves to be rewarded.
Of
And number
course.
two, well, oh well, we didn't get a second point. Are we closer to Bedard potentially in doing so? Yep. Okay. Perfectly fine with that. I'm perfectly okay. But like, I want to say two things. Going into that shootout, picking players, like Marty's just looking up and down the bench, and he's looking, and he's got a smile on his face. And I think even the guys on RDS were laughing and making jokes about it because
Yeah.
the guy is in tune with his players, with his boys. And I don't say boys as in friends, but he's like he's the perfect balance of like a strict parent who also, again, knows when to, take the foot off the gas, give his guys
Absolutely.
a tap on the back and be like, you know what, it's okay, you fucked up, it'll be fine, get yourself back on track, it's okay, like
Well,
all's good.
that's it. That's and I think that's been Marty's philosophy since he started coaching. It's like, look, I'll give you tough love, but I'm not gonna, if you mess up, I'm not gonna not punish you. It's like, look, at some point, you have to give those that are earning their ice time. You got to give them their ice time. But it's also, it's like, look, you messed up. We're gonna fix that because next game, I want you to be confident and I want you to play the way I know you can play. It's
Well,
not, it's that's how Marty functions, and it's working, man. It's fucking working. And we keep repeating, but as the games keep going, he just keeps proving us right.
there's that. Absolutely, 100% agree. I wanted, of course, I'm not going to miss the opportunity to compliment Saint Louis, but not once, at least that I remember, have we questioned or thought about the effort and what Stefan Rabida
I mentioned Stefan
is?
Rabida. I've mentioned him. I forgot
Okay, well,
which episode was it. I mentioned, I swear to God, I'm not making this up.
I
I
believe you.
have
I believe
mentioned.
you. I haven't been on all episodes, and unfortunately, I haven't been able to listen to every
It's
single minute of the other ones. But
it's recent. Go go go
okay,
go 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 for it. I'll find it.
well, it's just Stefan Rabida. Simply put, is you're again, we're talking about the significant number of injuries on defense, a lot of new faces, or simply a lot of rookies, and we're talking about their defensive performances. And as much as I'd again love to throw praise at Martin Saint-Louis, he manages both the offensive and defensive side of the game, but Stefan Rabida has to be doing something fucking good, and it just, it's mind-blowing. Like, now I'm gonna go full circle and encapsulate what you're saying. You're talking about Martin Saint-Louis wants his players to be confident for the next game. We're gonna fix this, we're gonna revise this, we're gonna work on it, effort and belief and consistency. But you think about the days of fucking Michel Therrien, number one, Michel Therrien, and even to a certain degree, Claude Julien. We would not be seeing young guys performing like this. We would see the young guys, if they got the chance and they messed up, we'd see them getting
Benched.
punished on a regular basis. And like, so that's completely different. But the other element that's just shocking, it's so refreshing. Like, in that sense, what's so refreshing about the Canadians and their new direction, when I say new direction, I'm saying Kent Hughes and Jeff Gorton and what they were able to bring in bringing in Martin Saint-Louis. I swear to God, we've mentioned it at least 10 times. Oh shit, okay, we're bringing in a guy with no experience. But Stefan Robida, that's another guy with no freaking experience. But what is
No,
he doing? What are these guys doing?
I'll slightly correct you on, okay, I did
Little, little experience.
the reason why you didn't know that I was talking about Rubida, because I said it when I did the solo episode. I talked
Okay,
about him when
okay.
I did it solo. So anyways, I'm glad I have someone to fucking talk to, just in general. So Steph, who is responsible, or one of the people responsible for guys like Austin Matthews, William Nylander and Mitch Marner
That's
to
true.
be
He was assistant coach in Toronto.
he was I think he was assistant coach. He had a part to play in the development of those players. Okay. Comes here. He comes the month of February, or even was it the month of February?
Jesus
They
Christ. Side
scored.
note, Jesus Christ, we're never going to win a playoff round.
Yeah, exactly. Look, in the past, what was it? This was in February. The Canadians scored I'm just talking about the month of February here. The Canadians scored 29 goals. 11 of those goals came from defense. Okay. And I'm not even including the month of March. I'm not including some of the goals that Matheson scored. Did Savard score? Kovacevic scored. Did he? Well, Caden Gooley, Justin Barron too. He was scoring. Like, Stefan Drobida has been doing a remarkable job. And fuck, we're agreeing a lot tonight. This is awesome. It's true. He deserves full credit for that as well. I'm sorry, while you were talking, I was trying to find the stat. A little fun fact here, okay? So Caden Gooley tonight against the New York Rangers, Thursday night against the Rangers, he got a goal and an assist, okay? So with that, Caden Gooley, he's got a 16-point and 17-point of the season. There was only one other rookie defenseman in the past 20 years that has recorded more points in a single season with 38 points. We spoke about him earlier.
Yossi.
No, with the Canadians.
No, with the can what the fuck am I?
Yeah.
Sorry, long day. Well, PK.
That's right. So PK in 2010 and 2011, he scored 38 points. He put up 38 points in his rookie season. Right now with 16-17, I talk about Roman Josi. Roman Josi in his rookie season had like 16-17 points. So there's still more hockey to play. I'm just saying, like, we don't praise Bergevin a lot or Timmins, but fucking they, I don't want to say they hit a home run because I still, fuck. If you were to ask me, you go back to that draft, do you pick Caden Gooley or Dawson Mercer? Oh my God. And I know you build the team from the back end. I know that. I know that. I know you need defense first, but if you look at Dawson Mercer, what he's doing with the Devils, ah. But don't get me wrong. I love the Caden Gooley pick, and I'm gonna love this kid as a player for his entire, hopefully he spends his entire career as a Montreal Canadiens, but during his entire time with the Canadiens, hopefully he gets an 8-year extension as well. So we add him for a total of 11 years. I know I'm gonna love this kid as a player. I already do.
There's nothing not to like about Gooley. I find it really, really hard to find to nitpick on his game. But going back to one of your points, there are a handful of things that would I guess irk some of the best philosophers if they were into hockey. I mean, you talk about, let's say, picking another player like Dawson Mercer, and we talk about Bergevin. It was, as they say in French, la vieille école de pensée chez les Canadiens de Montréal. So the old school way, the veteran players, and they had the role, and Anthony has mentioned it, Zouk has mentioned it, Zouk, especially Zouk has mentioned it. I think Joey, Adrian, every single one of us has mentioned it at one point or another. Hockey, the game of hockey is changing. It's going much more towards a younger man's game, and the younger players are contributing
Oh,
and
yeah.
able to perform right out of the gate. Now, here's where the philosophy comes in. Bergevin obviously did his job in bringing in the right pieces. You might argue Timmins as well, because he's the guy who's has a huge say in who they're drafting. But my fear, and this is where I'm at the crossroads in my thoughts, I have a hard time remembering Montreal Canadiens prospects playing in the juniors going as far as they do in their respective leagues. Whether it be in the Calder, whether it be all the way to the Calder Cup. Again, there's the Ontario, there's the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League, there's the Western Hockey League, then you have the NCAA. It seems as though these days, almost all of our prospects are one of the two or three leading scorers on their respective teams. We also see, as you mentioned, that they're going very, very far. Maybe it's just the recency effect where I'm not remembering other prospects performing very, very well and going very far in their respective leagues and everything like that. I just don't seem to remember that. But the biggest thing is, even if we were, I still lean on we didn't have the right people in place to let these guys flourish. And it hurts me to go full circle and to finally cap off our analysis. We didn't even do an analysis of
it's the
the
game.
Hurricanes and shit.
We're gonna get
When you're
there.
seeing KK score again, fucking Claude Julien, complete. It wasn't Claude Julien. Well, it was Claude Julien, and then you had Dominique Ducharme completely mismanaging the younger players. Michel Therrien, like we all talk about our love for PK Subban and what he was able to do. What if Michel Therrien could fucking actually speak properly and communicate properly with his players and fucking correct them and coach them? His fucking job is a coach. You're supposed to get the best out of your guys. And if he's being disruptive, if he's causing problems, you fucking coach him to be better. Again, so full circle, we might have had some very promising prospects, but it seemed as though every single time that they got to Montreal and they actually was time to play here, they fucking mismanaged the shit out of them and they destroyed them. You want it? Galchenyuk, our famous number three overall picks, Galchenyuk, KK,
They were rushed.
they
I
were
mean,
fucking rushed.
especially KK. I think Galchenyuk because he was with, I'm pretty sure he was with the London Knights.
Sarnia's
Th
thing,
was he with
I
Sarnia?
believe.
Because I think no, I think Sarnia was Sergachev. I think Mikhail Sergachev was with Sarnia. But I'm trying to, or was it? No, you might be right. You might be right. I'm gonna have to double check. Sorry if I'm getting my facts wrong here or not.
Galchuk
Galchuk,
trip to Sarnia.
But the thing is about Kotkaniemi, it's like, and it's again, I'm gonna go back to it. I can't believe, like, of course, he's Kotkaniemi's gonna beat the fucking Canadians in shootout. Of course. I hate to say this. He's gonna have the best season of his career. He's tied for points, career high, and he's going to have the most goals of his career too this season. I understand he's with the Carolina Hurricanes. I understand they're a strong team.
Still not worth 6 million, but
He's not worth 6 million. I get that. I understand that. And that offer sheet was big time out of spite for trying to get Sebastian Aho, and especially with the $20 signing bonus, absolutely out of spite, and that's why fans at the Bell Center are booing him. I don't even think mismanage is the word. I think that's an understatement. I think they, I don't know. They fucked up this kid in Montreal. They fucked him up.
But it was time and again and again and again that they fucking mismanaged all of their prospects. We've done the exercise before. You take the Canadians' last 10 to 15 first round draft picks, every single one of them are gone. They're gone elsewhere. Their first few years were disastrous, and we have practically nothing to show for the return that we got for them.
It started
So
with
it's
Suzuki. It started with Suzuki, but Suzuki was not our pick. Don't forget that. It started with Suzuki when he had that crazy Memorial Cup run with the Guelph Storm, I believe. He was with the
Yes,
Guelph
it
Storm.
was. I believe it was golf.
So, man, like he was putting up numbers, like, and being up there with the McDavids and the Marners of the OHL in their playoff performances. It started there, and then you saw the season when that Caulfield had that he wins the Hobey Baker Award. Now you see Caden Gooley, he went to the Memorial Cup. He was captain for Team Canada, the World Juniors, before it got fucking canceled because of stupid COVID. But it started with Suzuki. So, and I agree too. I don't remember. Maybe it's because I didn't pay attention much to it until Suzuki came along and I started really paying attention to our prospects and the performances, either in the OHL and junior, what have you. But the fact that it started with Suzuki and we're seeing the progression because we're seeing how these guys they're developing properly just because with the amount of fucking games they're playing. Like Jesperi Kotkaniemi, when he came here, he didn't play a single game in North America. And now the, and this is why we're all worried that Slafkovský might suffer the same fate. I think physically, Slafkovský is in a much better spot, we'll say, physically, compared to where KK was when he joined the NHL. But again, too, there is that debate if they should have sent Slafkovský down. And maybe it's because the first overall pick, the Montreal Canadiens, out of all fucking teams, maybe there was that pressure to make him start. You know what I mean? It's listen, we don't know. We could only predict based on potential and current data and stats and advanced analytics and blah 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 blah. The truth of the matter is, we don't know. It's going to come down to the kid and his work ethic and his effort and all that shit. That's what it's going to come down to. And I go back to KK. Some are saying like he didn't really have that much of a work ethic or a strong work ethic, at least. They're saying like he wasn't a bad kid, but like he lacked a bit of maybe seriousness, if I can't find a better term for it, a word for it to explain it. But like apparently the kid was like he wasn't too serious about learning things, whereas Slafkovský, you hear it, he wants to learn every single day. Anyways, whatever the truth is, I don't know, but the last thing this fan base needs is the way for Slafkovský to become the next Jesperi Kotkaniemi, because I think we're about to fucking lose our shit if that happens.
But again, that's where I have, I don't want to say I do have a blind faith, but I don't want to say a blind faith. I just want to say strong amount of confidence that for the first time in this locker room, things even remotely start going. You start to see, a negative emotional tendency, their interest, they're mentally not there. I think that they have enough guys to grab them, pull them aside, and say, kid, wake the fuck up, or it's not going to go well. And it's not in an aggressive way. It's we care about you. You're an important piece to
For
this
sure.
team. We're going to give you, you're going to take step A, B, C, D, E, all the way to Z. And I guarantee you go through all these steps, you're going to get on track, you're going to be performing. You're going to be essential to the team. There's the famous, I'm going back to this, and this is what I had in mind when I was talking about Michel Therrien and PK Subban in particular. There's one clip from the old show, like 24CH,
24CH.
when it's in between periods, and Michel Therrien literally brings PK into the room to
Yeah,
do
him and
what
Georges, yeah.
I didn't think it was anything other than the purpose of ripping on them. I don't want to say humiliating them, but then again, there's a camera right there. And even when Subban asks a question as to how he can, how the fuck do I play this better? Do I do this better? And Michel Therrien gives no answer, says absolutely nothing constructive, just shits on the guy and says, go back out and do better. Oh fuck, we don't have that anymore. And I'm so happy that we don't have that anymore. And we have, again, like I said, a planned approach to bettering your game on and off the ice now. And that's where I say I have a strong confidence, maybe a blind confidence in a certain sense, in the progress that we're going to see out of our young players, because we're getting them young and fresh, and hopefully we can instill some fantastic work ethic. That accountability that we talked about famously with the Boston Bruins in particular this year, and just a respect and a winning culture, winning attitude that's gonna carry through this organization and once again ring through the walls of the most storied franchise in NHL history.
We're gonna make this team great again, right?
Just missing the cap, the red cap.
Yeah, exactly. I want to talk about Mike Matheson and Jake Allen, the Molson Cup winners of the month of February, and honestly, it's well deserved. Mike Matheson, I think you could tell when this guy is healthy, 100%. Man, can he fucking skate? Can he play? I still don't think he's a quarterback on the power play, but fuck, fuck, man. Wow. Like I wish this guy was healthy all season just to see where he would be. Maybe he'd have a career high in points. Who knows? But and Jake Allen, like I know we talked a lot about Mo Tambeau this season, rightfully so, but Jake Allen the last couple of games, man. Fucking hell, he's been solid on the back end.
Not a bad acrobatic save the other game.
Oh, the two-pat stack was awesome
Yeah,
there. A little throwback to like the 80s. Who was the Islanders goaltender that used to do that a lot? My God, fuck, I can't. So Bill, was it Bill Ranford? Yes, Bill Ranford. Bill Ranford used to do the two-pack stack. Dominik Hasek. Oh my God, used to grow up loving this kid. Whenever I'd play street hockey and put on the street hockey goalie pads, that's all I would fucking do is just fucking throw whatever limbs I can, just to try to make a save.
The exaggerated glove save and the kicking mo the kick motion pads crazy pad saves. Like the other I have to say, just on the Matheson side of it all, when Matheson came in and he was playing his first games as the like as a Montreal Canadian, I didn't think very much of him. I'm like, fuck, man, this guy looks lost. I understand you're coming from a completely different team, a different system. You've been injured. You were out for the game for a longer period of time, perfectly fine. But when Matheson came back, fuck, he's not the same. He's
No, he's
night and
not.
day difference between his first, and I'm
Thousand
happy.
percent.
I'm happy for him because I was a little worried, and I go, oh, shit, we have this guy for a few more seasons. Is he going to be? Is almost I was thinking, is this guy going to be taking the place of a younger defenseman, like blocking and impeding a younger defenseman from having a spot? But at this point in time, with his skating, like you said, I'm going to agree. I'm going to make it simple for this episode. I'm going to agree once more. I don't think that he has his place on the power play. However, all around, I think he's truly putting a stamp on a lot of games, and he's making some pretty significant contributions all around. So I'm hats off again to you, Mike Matheson.
Yeah,
Thanks for proving some of us wrong.
he did make that one play though against Carolina. Like he kind of wanted to clear the puck along the boards, but it came like there was nobody there to like there was no winger there to pick it up, and off the defenseman of the point shoots it. They score on the rebound, and he knew he messed up. But like it's just say thank you for your contribution on the tank as well, Mike Matheson. But anyways, all jokes aside, like I love he's such a fucking great skater though. Like he's a fantastic skater. The fact that we traded him for Jeff Petrie, who I actually liked. I enjoyed Petrie skating. I thought Jeff Petrie was an excellent skater. I think Mike Matheson is just is a
Mike
bit of a
Matt,
better level than Petrie is.
he is, and he seems just like a, Jeff. I mean, Kent Hughes was the one who said it. He said he's just a great guy. Mike Matheson
Yeah,
seems like the kind of guy who's gonna let
he
you
is.
copy his answers off his test back in high school. He just
Oh, but
seems like that.
apparently he's such a good guy. Well, another colleague of mine kind of not grew up with him, but played hockey with him back in their younger days when he lived in I think it's in Pointe Claire. So like,
Stevensfield. I thought it was,
so
yeah, anyways, doesn't matter.
West Island, Montreal, and he says like he's the nicest guy ever. So it's always great to have that. And again, it's you want role models like that for these kids, for Gouley, for Jacki. For Jordan Harris, even for an old rookie like Kovacevic, for Justin Barron, I finally feel like we finally have the proper leadership role for certain positions on this team. And on defense, like I think Matheson is perfect for it. I think Joel Edmondson is great for it. There's rumors are he didn't get traded because of his leadership qualities on the team. Whatever, fine. And I think Savard too is great for that. It's I think these kids are finally well surrounded. You throw in Patrick Robida. Jesus fucking Christ. Keep messing this up. You throw in Stefan Robida behind the bench. You throw in Marty in there too. Anyways, it's awesome to see. But I want to jump into Jake Allen here. Is
You
Jake
want to jump
Allen?
into Jake Allen?
I want to jump into him. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, whatever, however the fuck that means. Jesus Christ. I'm not editing that. Is the duo of Montembeau and Allen, are they convincing you that they can be the goalies of this team? And I want to compare them to kind of like the Boston Bruins. They have Linus Allmark and they have Swayman. Could they be the goaltender duo, knowing that if the defenseman that we have on this team, the kids, you know, when Caden Gooley, Jack Guy, Harris is in his prime, throw in Justin Barron there. If Mike Matheson stays, if Savard stays, if Lane when once Lane Hutson comes, once Logan Mailloux comes, do you think Montembeau and Jake Allen could be the goalie to, you know, to help bring this team to a contending level?
And what I so badly would like to say yes. I don't know if it's because we've been spoiled with a guy like
That's
Carey Price for
it's
years.
1,000% that, but it's yeah.
I think that those two will allow the Canadians to be contenders. Not fuck. What the fuck? They'll allow them to be
Jeez, okay.
competitive. I'm not saying
Okay,
contenders.
yeah.
Competitive is the word that I'm looking for.
Okay.
Getting a little late over here.
Yeah.
But for some reason, and this is just a gut feel, it won't be Jake Allen or it won't be Sam Montembeau in front of the net when Nick Suzuki is going to be skating to collect the cup.
Okay, is it gonna be
That's it.
Gary? Is it gonna be Gary Bettman delivering that cup?
Oh, fuck.
That's the other question now.
Oh, I think, you know what? I'm not comfortable. I'm not comfortable telling you whether or not it's going to be Gary Bettman making the call, but I
Okay.
can tell you this much. If it's in Montreal and Montreal wins the cup, I think that's going to be the first time we don't hear him get booed by the Montreal fans. That much I'm willing to go out on a limb and say he won't get booed if the
Okay.
Canadians are winning the
I
cup. That's
really
the only.
I hope both happen. I hope the Canadians win the cup. No, hold on a second. Three things you mentioned. I hope they win the cup. Hope they win the cup in Montreal. And I hope to see whether they boo him or not. There's buy lottery ticket. You never know if that could happen. But geez. Yeah,
Jake Allen, or just want to say, I think one, I just wanted to conclude that thought. I don't think it's going to be Allen or Montembeau, but I do have a strong belief it'll be one of the two as a backup. And to be honest, I think it's going to be Montembeau who's going to be backing up. And I think Montembeau is going to be a fantastic backup. It's just when the time comes for the Canadians to be fucking contending, and you're talking about that back end, you're talking about all the now rookies will be established players, the Caulfields, the Suzukis, the Kirby Doc, even to a certain point Slafkovsky, when these guys are going to be a few years in, or especially
In
the first
in
guys
their
that I
prime,
mentioned, they're going to be the veteran players. I think that the staff is going to look at one another and say, okay guys, we're just missing a goaltender to solidify our chances of winning. And am I saying it's going to be like a Patrick Roy going to Colorado to solidify the goaltending? We might not get the best goaltender, but at the moment, like, I'm just not feeling as though those guys might go on a hot streak. They might pull a fucking Halak moment and get us really, really deep
Yeah,
into the
maybe.
playoffs. But I don't feel that it's going to be one of the two that's going to be winning the cup
I'm
with
there
us.
think because I'm there thinking like would we rather have, and again, it comes down to us being spoiled for all those years with Price. It's because like we had an elite goaltender with mediocre defense. I mean, besides Markov and Subban, they didn't really have that much.
Caulfield,
So,
Spacek,
sure. I
Hamelik,
mean, yeah, they helped. They helped
nightmares.
out. Yeah, you know, okay, Mike Weaver too. Okay, cool. But
Mike the Dream Weaver.
Mike the
Oh,
Dream
yeah.
Weaver, yeah, the Dream Weaver. Anyways, like,
So
is it time to maybe look away from that and be like, look, we could have two pretty decent goaltenders, but if our defense is excellent. And this is what the Bruins are doing right now. And we have yet to see how they're going to play in the playoffs, but I think it's safe to assume that they might win the first round, that we're all saying they might win the cup, but they don't have the most elite goaltenders on their team. Neither did Colorado last year when they won, but their defense was fucking phenomenal. So this is why I'm asking if you could see if first of all, whether Motombo and Allen are going to stick, both of them, in the next. I know Allen is signed for another 2 years, and so is Motombo's got an extension too. After that, it's still uncertain. But if our defense keeps getting better and these kids progress like we expect them to, or hope they will, will having those two goaltenders, will we as a fan base and even as a franchise, as an organization, are they going to be okay with it? That's my wonder.
Look, I don't. I'm getting all like frustrated trying to think about this question. I don't think Allen is going to be the guy, sadly, to step up his game. I think we're seeing the best out of Jake
Yeah,
Allen.
this is
I
who he
still
is.
think that he's a fringe number one goaltender, but is he a number one goaltender?
No, I don't think he is.
I don't think so. However, to your point, I would fucking love to see the Montreal Canadiens have a balanced goaltender role, guys that they're not overpaying or they're not paying all that much, and they will be affordable for years. They will last for years on end because you're not burning them out. I do think, however, that Sam Montembeault, as much as I don't see it now, I'm not ruling out the possibility that this guy could eventually become a number one. That's up to Montembeault. That's if he puts in the effort and, surprise us. I pray to you, Sam Montembeault, surprise us. I hope, I wish you all the very best. I used to laugh at you. I used to make fun of you. I used to
I'm
call
so
you Jack.
sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so
Exactly.
sorry.
I hope all the best for you, but seriously, do I see it clearly? No. Do I see is he a guy that you're just gonna say around the league, Sam Montembeault or Jake Allen? Is this a starting goaltender for every team around the league? If you would say, is he a number one goaltender? No, not neither for the moment.
Okay.
That's the sad truth.
I want to go on the final topic here, and it's going to regard it. It's regarding the topic of fighting in hockey. Okay, and it's a lot. It's very obvious that like fighting in hockey has decreased in a sense. Okay, like it's still there, it still happens, but it's not. The role of the enforcer is dying down. The role of the goon, if you want to use that term, is dying down. But lately, we've been seeing a lot more now than ever is that when a guy delivers a clean hit, not dirty, not cheap, clean, he has to pay the price by dropping the gloves right away. The whole point about when fighting came in was the whole point about the enforcer rule was because if you went after the superstar, but if you did anything dirty to any player, the enforcer's coming after you. Now it's comes down to the guy that just delivers a clean hit, he has to answer the bell. And there's a lot of fans and people in the business of hockey, they're upset. They hate when that happens. And I don't hate it, but like I don't think it's necessary either. And I'm not talking about fighting. I've listened, I love fighting in hockey. I do. I'm willing to admit that, and I'll take that to my grave. I'm not violent, but I love it. Okay. I'm not a violent person, but I do love it. I think there is a place for it. When Jonathan Kovacevic hit, who was it? Was it Alec Martinez or was it Shea Theodore in Vegas? He had to answer the bell right away. Okay, and if you
He
look at the
fought
replay,
Martinez, yeah.
he fought Martinez. So there you go. So
But it
like,
wasn't, yeah.
so if you look at the replay, Martinez was skating up to him, and I think Kovacevic assumed that, fuck, I have to answer the bell. He dropped the gloves anyways. They both went at it. You know what I mean? I don't have a problem with, like, let's say, Chris, you and I are on the same team, and if a guy fucking hits you, I don't mind, like, if a player, like let's say we'll use us for example, a guy hits you, and if I were to go after the other guy, not drop the gloves, but like kind of give him a nudge and be like, yo, like, clean hit, whatever, fine, it was legal, fine, it wasn't dirty, but you're still hitting my star player, like, think twice next time or else I might come after you. Like, I don't mind that. I don't mind the guy that goes and defends the teammates. I just think, though, if you have to fight because you obey the rules by delivering a clean hit, I find that shitty. And it's because of stuff like that now that just adds fuel to the fire in that whole debate about should there be fighting in hockey.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Are you ready? I fucking hate that. I fucking look, number one, I'm a caveman in that sense. I love watching fighting in hockey. It's a part of the game. I think it has to stay. And I think when tempers boil over and when guys are pissed off because there's back and forth and there's continuous hitting and then there's questionable shit that happens on the ice. Mm-hmm. Is it dirty? Is it with intent to fucking injure? Are there, you know, is it, you know, like you said, there's hitting in hockey. Fucking pick yourself up, dust the fucking snow off yourself and get back to fucking play. But a nice clean hit, you separate the guy from the puck, you know, like, again, separate a guy from the puck, fucking get up, continue playing. And I'm hating the fact that guys are having to answer to these things. On the other end, you have a guy who's like, you know, the player on your team doesn't have the puck, just skating up the ice, and there's a fucking interference. Like he skates mm-hmm. up, and you bash a guy and you knock him down to the ice. You know, there's no other intention other than to piss the guy off, mm-hmm. injure him, or there's malice, there's malintent mm-hmm. behind the action. You of fucking course. Drop the gloves and you set the fucking thing straight right then and there. Fighting is essential. Fighting is needed. But yeah, it reminds me what's going on now. And maybe it's just the Montreal side of me. It used to piss me off back in the days when the Boston Bruins had Milan Lucic, Nathan Horton. They had Chara. They had Johnny Boychuk. They had Adam McQuaid. They had all a bunch of fucking guys who loved to fight. Every single time one of their big B on their chest stood for bitch. Every single time one of them used to get bumped, they used to have to fucking throw off the gloves and they used to beat the shit out of fucking guys who were non-fighters. I hated mm-hmm. that. And that's kind
especially
of
Lucic. Lucic picked on fucking guys he knew he would win. That's why he didn't dare to drop the gloves against a guy like George Laroque. And George Laroque challenged him. And people at that time were like, why didn't you jump him? Why didn't you jump him? He's like, I can't jump him. If I jump him, I'm going to beat the shit out of him. If I beat the shit out of him, I'm going to get suspended. I'm going to be made an example of. If he's dead, I could go to jail, obviously. Duh. But he goes, but Laroque said, he's like, every time I was there, Lucic did nothing to the Canadians. And it's true. It's fucking true. It's so true. Yeah. And this is why, again, this is why you have a guy like Arber Jacka on the team. He's made his name across the league, man. Everybody knows he's a fucking tough kid. Okay? Like people are going to think twice now before messing with the Canadians. And Pezzetta's going to drop. Pezzetta, he's not a fighter, but the guy, he's brave enough. He's got the I pali, like we say in Italian. He's got balls of steel. We're Italian. We could say this. He's got balls of steel. He'll drop them against anyone if he can. Then again, to work that's another way of showing him that he wants to stay on this team. He wants to stay in the NHL to be in the show. Like, and I understand there's people that don't want fighting. Fine, that's your opinion. You're entitled to it, but. You remove fighting in the NHL, the amount of cheap shots and dirty hits are gonna fucking
skyrocket.
They're gonna skyrocket, and then you're gonna see and wonder how, like, why is there so many concussions in the game of hockey? That's all I'm saying. It's literally comes out of that. And the reason why I'm bringing up this topic is because did you see in the Quebec Major Juniors they're banning fighting?
Watch the consequences of it. I mean, I know there's no fighting. I know there's no fighting at the international level, but these kids are they're skilled players. They're not brawlers. When you have a bunch of tough kids, some of those kids are gonna get walloped. They're gonna get destroyed because you got significantly tougher guys. Like you think of a guy like Arbor Jacki, that too. Like you're gonna
He's
have a lot of.
happy he's no longer in junior, because if they start removing that in the OHL, like if there's one th if like if you look at this, the Canadian Hockey League, the Quebec Major Junior, the OHL and the WHL, whatever happens in one league, chances are it transfers and spreads to the other two. So I think the OHL is solely going to go to no fighting as well, and a guy like Arbor Jack is going to be like, fuck, thank God I was able to do it when I was.
Oh fuck, he was able to set himself apart in doing what he did. But again, just going back to it, just to put a bow on it. Again, stop the nonsensical. Like I would say at every level, stop the nonsense. And it's funny because it's happening more and more just at the NHL level rather than the junior levels, which we're concentrating on. The nonsensical need to answer for a good hit. Like again, Jacob Trouba, another very good example of that when he was
Pittsburgh.
playing against
Was it
Pittsburgh,
Pittsburgh?
also playing against Boston just a few like a week ago or so when New York, it was Rangers against Boston, one of the first games Patrick Kane was playing. You know, Trouba comes in and he lines up a player, he hits him down, clean hit, hockey hit. Stop fucking feeling the need. Like you want to avenge the play, wait for Trouba to be in the corner and you fucking smash him one for one. I hate the need. Like I hate this need to automatically fight, but at the same time, please, for the love of God, keep fighting, because when it gets out of hand and you start to have people acting out,
Well,
we're You
here's
need to settle the score because you're going to watch what happens in the queue. Watch.
well, so the thing about the fighting, remove fight, because don't forget in the Quebec Major Juniors and just in junior, some of these kids go at the age of 16 and they're up against 18, 19, 20, 21-year-olds. Like, you'll remove the fact that you could have a 20-year-old kid beating the shit out of a 16, 17-year-old. Like, it's basically an adult beating the shit out of a minor, basically. So you'll reduce that, but you'll reduce that aspect for sure. But I think, I don't know, man. I'm still worried that the cheap shots are still gonna not skyrocket, but there's gonna be a lot of cheap shot dirty hits because there's no consequences. And I think if you want to reduce the having to answer the bell when you make a clean hit, if let's say I think you the instigator, instead of making it 2 minutes, make it a 5 minute major. I say make it a 5 minute major. And it doesn't mean you're gonna reduce fighting, but in a sense you will, but you're gonna reduce the nonsensical method of it, like you said. Because like if you deliver a clean hit and then somebody's gonna come after you because you did, well, fuck, because I did that, I'm sitting not just 5 minutes for fighting, but then another guy's gonna have to get off the ice 5 minutes as a major penalty. You know what I mean? So,
Well, Martinez,
or I'm there for 5 minutes no matter what. But that's
yeah,
but
but
I
they
but I
have to
just yeah.
they have to make sure that they fucking enforce that properly. Martinez, clearly, I know Kovacevic was still first to drop his gloves, but Martinez skating up to him like that's in all of our fucking experience watching hockey, that's pretty much code for drop the
Yeah,
gloves. We're
that's
going right now.
the international signal, exactly. So
And did he get like I this is where I don't want to mislead
I
our
don't
listeners,
think
but I don't
he
want to
got a
fucking
2 minute instigator.
exactly that. So
So
it's that kind of shit that they have to fucking like clear it up, fucking apply the rules accordingly. But I don't know, they it's funny because we have a bunch of the NHL, I'd argue, has never been, and don't laugh, and I'm not making fun of them, but they've never been wimpier. There are like a handful of
Oh.
guys in this league that are fucking really mean, tough,
Oh yeah,
scary dudes,
it's
and then the
yeah.
rest of them are just like
Well, the tough ones that
so
remain,
pathetic.
it's like, it's Ryan Reeves, it's the Nicolas Deslauriers that are left. Arbor Jack guy is gonna be one of them, but it's that enforcer rule, the enforcer role, excuse me, is unfortunately a dying breed, and it's. I look back to what's his face there, Brian, what's his face there? He's with GM of the Maple Leafs,
Ryan Burke.
Brian Burke, when he
Trucul
said,
truculence is the word that you're looking for.
when he said today it's a sad day in hockey when I know like a guy like Colton Orr cannot play in this league anymore, and he was serious. Like I remember that when he sent Colton Orr down to the minors. Because he was just an enforcer, and he goes, and he said, he's like, I don't like the way where this league is heading. But when a guy like Colton Orr cannot be used in the NHL anymore, he's right. He
Yeah.
he's right. I understand it's all like there's a lot. There's the skill level is at a level that we've never seen before, and it's the skill level is gonna keep getting better and better, but. I'm like you, please don't remove the fighting. Like I need that in my life. Like I live
Well,
vicariously through these guys.
you know what it feels like, and it's going to be a strange analogy or comparison. Like, even the NHL All-Star game, it's becoming more and more of a farce. I'm not saying the game is becoming more and more of a farce because you're dead on point when you say it's becoming more of a skill game. We're seeing more and more special plays. You know, the mission, like, don't get me wrong, the Michigan is never going to get old. When somebody's able to pull something like that off in a game, like the degree to which that is complicated, and you know, anybody just go take a puck, go take a stick. Go get a pair of skates on and try to lift it off the ground. Sammy and I can attest to it. It's hard doing it standing still. Imagine against a bunch of professionals. So again, there's a level of
At
reach
that
to
speed,
that. But there's an element to the game of hockey. Sometimes it's a little bit of an ugly element, but some of the best rivalries, some of the most emotionally charged games and most significant games, like going up against other teams, like you know the year that, and again it's horrible to allude to it, but the year when Pacioretty got hit by Chara, pretty much every single game that year before and after that hit,
Oh yeah.
they were so like you were like, okay, when is Montreal playing Boston? I'm clearing my
It's
schedule. I'm sitting in
so
front of the
true
TV.
though. It's
It's
so true. Like if everyone's there all like, oh, the rivalry between Montreal and Boston is dying down. Well, why is it? Because there's
Yeah,
less of
there's
there's
no
less of the
hatred.
there's no exactly. It's
But and I remember being my friend David. Like I remember when Tim Thomas is skating down the ice to go fucking face
Oh,
off with Price, and I'm picking up my
fight.
phone. I'm like,
Oh my God, I remember that. I remember
like
that.
the
But
excitement.
yeah, that was a bad game too, because like I just remember seeing what's his name? Fucking Tom Pyatt, just fucking I don't know who the heck was beating the shit out. But
It
with the elbow
was
pad was
Gregory
just
Campbell. It was
fucking
Gregory Campbell.
poor Tom Pyatt. He looked like the fucking conductor's wand at the end of the at the other side of that. Just oh my God, it was brutal. Spot check too was getting just fucking like I don't know who was being spot checked, but him too. He's just like, yeah, no problem, no
Was
problem.
Johnny Boychuk who beat the shit out of Spotchek. It
Yeah, that's
was
it. It was him.
Gregory Campbell who beat the shit out of Tom Pyatt. It was
Chart.
Benoit Pouliot who fucking caved in
Come on.
Krejci with a one punch. You had Tim Thomas and Carey Price facing off, which a goalie fight was just mind blowing. You know, the list, honestly, Montreal didn't have the best fighters, and that I
No, we
still
didn't
have
have
a degree
anybody.
to. Like, I'm hoping that Arbor Jack Eye kind of evens a score that dates back several years. But even if you want to separate that, you look at Detroit and Colorado
Oh my
back in
God, in the
the late
'90s, it was
90s, like
nuts. They hated Claude Lemieux. Oh my God, they hated him.
But that's the thing. Late 90s, early 2000s, more early 2000s, more like it. You think about those games that even if you're not a fan of that team in particular, Edmonton Oilers and Calgary Flames a few year
Oh,
only a few
fuck
years
yeah.
ago when they had more tough guys,
Oh my
those
God.
teams were playing the emotion, the fucking anger that they had with one another. Then you brought in these fighters. There was such like, yeah, skill is fun, but it's like, ah, it's our guy fucking against
Oh,
your
okay.
guy. There's a
Oh, come on. Like, we're not even fans of that. Like, I enjoy watching them, but like when Zach Cassian was trying to beat the shit out of Matthew Tkachuk and then the two goalies were going at it too. Holy fuck. It was awesome.
Exactly.
I like that old time hockey game. Call me old school.
Yeah. Oh.
You and I have that rage in our blood. It's a family curse, but
Oh, look, we don't like to fight, but if the time comes to fight, well, fuck, that's
oh
there's
man,
no
what
nothing held back,
more
and that's
so
go
more
ahead.
and more when I play in like these beer leagues, like I think myself as a human being, I've been running out of patience on I'm just losing patience on the human species in general, and like I'll never start a fight at a game. Like once in a while I'll chirp here and there, but I make it fun, but like I'll never start shit. But like lately, if somebody's been getting my face, like I don't give a fuck. It's like, and I'm wearing we're it, it we're all wearing cages and we're holding our gloves, but fuck, I don't give a shit. I'll fucking take a couple of swings at you. So
Look, man, before I think, look, I think
yeah.
that's the way you should go. I commend you
This
on
is
that. It's a look, but before our listeners call us barbaric and everything like that, look, excuse us. We come from another generation. That's one. Do we want to see anybody hurt? Absolutely
no.
not. But at the same time, I want to say something, but you can't even say it these
It's
days.
part of the game. It's the fighting
No,
is part of the game, and we like it. Like you're
it
allowed to
goes,
like it.
but it goes beyond that, and it's something that you can't even say in this day or age, but it's just there's a lack of manly men. Okay? There's a lack of manly tough guys. Like again, I'll give you a perfect example. Trevor Zegras fucking pulls these insane things, gives amazing interviews after the games. But that guy does some of these things and fucking makes you look ridiculous. There's a certain element of like, I will beat the shit out of you if you try to pick up the puck. Like that, it was like that
It's
shit.
true. It's yeah, no,
Like you.
I get that that shit like that would never fly in the 90s and
Oh.
2000s. And I get times evolved and times changed too, and we want to see skilled players like that perform like that, because Zegras, that between the legs goal he scored a couple of nights ago, I freaked out. And like the kid's got all the
Yeah.
skills, man. He does.
Yeah.
But anyways, I'm just saying, like my thing is like I like the fighting. I could do it without coming back down full circle, and we're gonna wrap it up here. Like if you deliver a clean hit and you have to answer the bell for following the rules. You know what I mean? Like if you're going after if you're delivering a clean hit after Sidney Crosby, yeah, you can expect guys to come after you and shove you along the boards. But if you deliver a clean hit, you separate a guy like Crosby off the puck. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like he's I don't know. If you give him a dirty hit or a cheap shot, yeah, you better be ready to fucking answer the bell. I don't know. I say the instigator rule. Make it a 5 minute major, and you're gonna see how that shit's gonna stop. That's all I gotta say about that.
Yeah.
It's getting late.
Yeah. No, look, we'll leave it at that. I think very well concluded. Keep hockey a tough man sport. Allow for accountability through fighting. But fucking, pick your battles. Don't be such
Yeah,
a
exactly.
fucking like these they're poor egos. Stop with your, oh, my poor ego. I got bumped to the ice. I got a little snow on my hockey pants. I need to fight. I need somebody to fight for me. Fuck you. The only the anyways. And that goes for you too, you bitch, Austin Matthews. Fuck, drop the gloves for once, rather than letting
gonna,
him.
You not gonna fucking happen. Bitch. it's never gonna happen. But anyways, okay. All right. Well, on that note, we're gonna end this off. Big thank you to our viewers and followers once again. Again, on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. We're not violent men. We're good men, but we are tough men. I have no problem admitting that. Chris, thanks, buddy.
Thanks for having me.
There's no problem.
Always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure. To the rest of the Curfew Boys, hope to see you all next episode. Gentlemen. Chris, it's just you. Until next time. Bye now.
Bye now.
Good night.